the collapse of the salmon economy. This is the Environment Report. I'm Rebecca Williams. The Great Lakes are changing so fast that the agencies which manage fishing cannot keep up with the changes. Some types of fish populations are collapsing and others are thriving, at least for now. In a project between the Environment Report and Michigan Watch, Lester Graham has a series of reports on what's happening and why. This first report looks at some of the history of fishing on the Great Lakes.
It used to be the lake trout was the big fish to catch. But by the late 1950s, that fish and others had been severely overfished. And an eel-like, blood-sucking parasite called the sea lamprey further reduced lake trout numbers. And those weren't the worst problems for lake trout. A fish called the alewife invaded the Great Lakes through man-made canals. Lake trout started feeding on alewives, but alewives caused a thiamine deficiency in lake trout, a lack of vitamin B1. Mark Gaydon is with the Great Lakes Fishery Commission.
The thiamine deficiency is one of the top reasons why natural reproduction has been very slow to occur over the decades in the Great Lakes of these species.
With not enough lake trout to keep the alewife in check, the invasive fish population would grow to immense proportions, and then a food shortage or a harsh winter would cause the alewife population to crash. Dead alewives washed up on the beaches of the Great Lakes in piles stretching miles along the coast.
If you were living in the Great Lakes Basin at that time and your shorelines were choked with stinking masses of dead fish, would you want to go to the beach?
The Michigan Department of Natural Resources had no idea what to do. In 1964, the agency hired a Michigan native, Howard Tanner. He says right after he was hired, the director of the agency at that time, Ralph McMullen, a wildlife biologist, and his deputy, a forester, met with Tanner.
And they just said, you know, we don't know anything about fish, but the fisheries division hasn't done anything in years. Just take it and do something. And Ralph, as I was going out the door, he said, make it spectacular.
Tanner says he saw the alewife as simply food for a predator fish. Something needed to replace the lake trout as the Great Lakes' top predator. His experience as a fish biologist out west told him Pacific salmon would do the trick, and it would be spectacular.
I've got the world's biggest chunk of fresh water, and it's full of food, and I've got a species of fish to put on it. You didn't have to be a rocket scientist. You had to be a fish biologist, maybe. There wasn't any doubt.
Tanner introduced Pacific coho salmon. His successor, Wayne Toady, introduced Chinook salmon a little later. Over the course of just a few years, Michigan anglers rediscovered the Great Lakes. Salmon fishing caused a boom in tourism. And suddenly, dead alewives were not washing up on the beaches. Howard Tanner says it was just a cycle of boom and bust for the alewife, but many people assumed it was the salmon eating them.
We said, no, that's not true. We must have said that for at least a minute and a half, maybe. And then we said, okay, we did it. And it was serendipity all the way through.
That's a good-sized fish.
It's sunrise on Lake Michigan near Grand Haven. I'm on a salmon fishing boat with a former Michigan fisheries chief, John Robertson. He remembers when fishing just wasn't that great on the Great Lakes.
Over on this side of the state, the better part of Lake Huron, there just weren't that much of a sport fishery.
But now, a couple of generations of anglers have been catching Pacific salmon on the Great Lakes. Communities along the coast have become dependent on salmon to attract tourists and their money. With Michigan Watch, I'm Lester Graham for the Environment Report.
Tomorrow, Lester looks at the growing cost of stocking salmon in the Great Lakes. That's the Environment Report. I'm Rebecca Williams.